I invite you tonight to take your Bible, if you would, and open with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 tonight. We've been in the midst of our summer series, Ask the Pastor. We've answered some questions that have come in from members of our congregation. I have one other question that's been given to me. However, I knew that the person who asked the question wouldn't be here tonight. And I also knew that I need a little bit more time to study the topic that they asked me about. And so we're going to put that off for a little while. But tonight I was considering some things in relation to the Word of God and some things of the questions that sometimes come up within our own lives. Now, you and I live in a world populated with over 6 billion people. But one of the fastest growing problems in our day is loneliness. In a recent study conducted by the American Council of Life Insurance, it was discovered that the group most affected by loneliness was college students. That's an interesting fact. But they are the loneliest group of people, according to this study. Next on the list to those of the college students who are the most lonely, we find those who have been divorced, followed by those who are welfare recipients, followed then by single mothers. In order to prove a point that loneliness is a growing problem, an ad was taken out in place in a Kansas newspaper. And the ad simply read this: "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Some thought that was a hoax. But believe it or not, within just a couple days, that phone line was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day, simply giving someone the opportunity to talk. It seems some will go to almost any length to try to alleviate the feelings of loneliness." As I thought about those things, I asked myself the question, have you ever felt forgotten? The problem of loneliness is not restricted to those who are lost. The reality is that many Christians struggle with a feeling of loneliness, a feeling that they have been forgotten. Although surrounded by people, we can find ourselves dealing with that problem of loneliness and feeling forgotten. Did you know that some of the greatest servants of the Lord found themselves dealing with that very problem? I think of Elijah. After his great victory on Mount Carmel, after defeating the prophets of Baal, proving to the people of Israel that God was God, we find him in the very next chapter struggling with the issue of loneliness. That he had been forgotten, unappreciated. I can think back in history, if you study some of the church history, you can think of some of the big names of pastors that would be known throughout history. And some of them struggled with loneliness, and some of them struggled with depression. It is a problem that has plagued many. Perhaps, maybe no one understands this as much as David. Think about David for a moment. Because tonight I want to see David's perspective when it comes to these thoughts of loneliness. I want you to think about David with me for a few minutes and consider who he was. Because we have a view of David in our minds sometimes. When we just mention King David, we have certain things that immediately come to mind. But sometimes we forget a lot of who David was and what he struggled with. Matter of fact, if you read the Psalms, you are reading a record of his thoughts and his feelings and his views about God and the things that he was facing within his life. But you know, David was the man who knew the accolades of thousands. Remember the song that they sang of David in the days of King Saul's reign? Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. Even while Saul was the king, David was lifted up and he was praised. He knew the accolades of thousands. Yet he also would know the very depths of loneliness. We find David, do we not? Hiding and fearing for his life alone in the caves. David was a man who knew the love of loyalty. David had a faithful band of soldiers who would valiantly fight at his side. There are some wonderful stories in the Old Testament about some of these men who would be David's men, his band of soldiers. They were loyal unto him. But you know, David also understood the other side. He knew the feelings of the deepest betrayal. His son Absalom sought his life and sought his throne. He rebelled against his own father and sought to take his own father's life. David knew the solitude of the shepherd's field, and he knew the hustle and bustle of the palace. He experienced the highs and lows of life, and he experienced the highs and lows of his spiritual walk with God. He was a man that God called a man after my own heart. Yet through pride and selfishness, he commits the greatest trespasses against his own God. David is a man who understood the peaks and the valleys of life. He understood what it meant to feel alone, to at times be forgotten. If you just turn over a page or two, you find verses written by David. David would simply ask the questions. Look at chapter 42 of Psalm. In verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the Lord, for the living God. When I shall come and appear before my God, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? David had struggles within his own heart. He felt those days of loneliness. Look at verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David had experienced the depths of loneliness. There were times which he wondered, where is the Lord? Job experienced that. Job would say, oh, that I knew where I could find him. If I knew where I could find him, I would go to him. I would plead my case before him. There are times where we feel sometimes as if we've been forgotten. Yet through all of these things, David has concluded that instead of his life being a life filled with loneliness, he understood he was never forgotten. That God was always with him. Psalm 37 is a precious psalm, probably one that many of you love. And what I find in these verses so precious is found in the thoughts of verse 25 tonight. David said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Tonight I want to look at verse 25, and I want to consider the thought, have you ever been forgotten? And the truth is, God never forgets his own. Let's pray, and then we'll look at this verse together tonight and see a few things together. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I ask and pray tonight that you would help us as we come to thy word, to see truth that is helpful to us in the day and age in which we live. Father, there are many today who struggle with the issues of loneliness. There are some, even within our own congregation, that struggle with some thoughts. There are some of our elderly who just can't get out as much as they used to. And at times, they struggle with feeling alone. Lord, there are some who, in the midst of a whole crowd of people, but even in that crowd, they feel very much alone and as if no one truly cares. But Lord, we understand, even as we sung tonight, that you care for us, and we can know that you care. Father, I ask and pray tonight that we would see these precious things as recorded in this one verse of Scripture tonight. Help us, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. David writes in Psalm 37, verse 25, again and says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David offers to us two perspectives that help us on those days that we feel forgotten. All of us have probably come to some point in time in life where we feel alone. We feel forgotten. We feel underappreciated, that no one really cares. We spend our time and our energy trying to help others and serve others. We do our part in the church. We do our part for our family and our loved ones. And yet we still feel very much alone. Does anyone truly care? David gives us two perspectives that help us on those days that we feel in that way. The first perspective comes from the first part of that verse, and it's the perspective of his presence. David says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. David is writing to us from the experience of his life. David is coming to us now as an older man. His statement is, I am now old. I was once young, not any longer. I am old. And through my life, I have come to the conclusion that God never forsakes his own. The righteous are not forsaken. David understood that wonderful truth. He was able to look back over the course of his life and see the hand of God in everything in his life. David understood that God does not forget his people. God does not forsake his own. Through mature eyes, he was able to comprehend and see that God was with him all the way. I want you to think about that statement. I have been young, and now I'm old. I want to look at David's life just briefly with some thoughts and see how the Lord was with him. In his youth, God was with him, David, as a shepherd boy. He empowered him to overcome a lion and a bear as he protected his father's flock. You know, the amazing thing that we think of when we read that story is what? We think of almost the strength and youth of David. Wow, he killed a lion. He killed a bear. We think of David. Know what we forget? It was God who empowered him, and God who protected him, and God who kept him and allowed him to have those victories. See, God was with him even in his youth. In his youth, God was with him and allowed him to be the one used to slay the giant Goliath. There was not a single man in all of Israel who would stand against Goliath. Not a single soldier or warrior, not even the captain of the host of Israel, not even the king Saul, who stood head and shoulders above everyone else. No one would stand. But David stood. David fought. David knew there was a cause and there was a reason worth fighting for. And as David stood before Goliath, he was able to confidently say, my God is with me, and today I will take your head off of your shoulders, for my God will give the victory over you. In his youth, God was with him. As David began to grow older, the hand of the Lord was still upon him. David was chosen to be the king. And as David was finally given that responsibility to be the king, the Lord allowed him to do the wonderful work of uniting the tribes of Israel. You'll be reminded that up to that point, really, there was no unity in Israel. Saul was, yes, king, but the nation in many ways was still divided. And in fact, when David became king, he was made king over Judah. Two tribes. Eventually uniting the whole kingdom into one. And God would allow him to establish the kingdom of Israel. He would allow him to make the preparations for the building of the temple. David would allow the borders to be secured. He would actually expand the borders of Israel. And through those middle years of his life, God was with David. You know what's remarkable? As David got older, his faithfulness waned. His faithfulness to his family, and his faithfulness to his God. David fell into sin with Bathsheba, killed her husband Uriah, took her to be his wife, and through it all had no remorse and no regret. Until one day, God was with David enough to come and bring Nathan the prophet to tell him a story, to enrage him, only for Nathan to point the finger and say, David, you're the man in that story. It's your sin that God hates. Even when David was unfaithful, God was faithful to David. God was willing to bring chastening and punishment for the purpose of David's good. Although David's sin was unacceptable, David himself was still acceptable in the sight of God. Through it all, David could say, I have been young, and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I have never been forgotten. If anyone deserved in some way to be forgotten, wouldn't it have been David with such sin? Think about how you feel about someone when they sin against you, when they hurt you. That might have been someone that was a close friend, and then they did something, they said something, and they hurt you deeply. What do you want to do with that person? You want to forget them, don't you? You want to kind of put them out of your mind. You don't want anything to do with them. You want to kind of forget. Here's what God said. I will never forget or forsake my own. And David says, I have come to the end of my life, and I have realized in all things that the Lord's presence has always been with him. He was never forgotten. He was never forsaken. How often do we forget the words of the Lord when we feel as if no one else cares and all have forgotten us? Think about these words of the Lord in Matthew 28. His final words to his disciples before he left. How does he end that great commission? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, to the end of this age. Our God is with us. He will not forget. He will not forsake. Hebrews 13:5. It reminds us of the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has promised to be with us. And in those days when we feel forgotten, underappreciated, as if no one cares, know what needs to be reminded to us? Jesus cares. He never forsakes his own. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Never forgotten. Never forsaken. David had a perspective of his presence, and he also had the perspective of his provision. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David understood that God was one who provides for our every need. So often when you and I feel forgotten, when we feel alone, what we're feeling is that our needs aren't being met. Someone wasn't there for us. That's why we're lonely. We're not appreciated. Someone hasn't met that need within our own heart. And we think there's a need that has to be met and it's not being met. There's a void within my life. Therefore, I feel alone. I feel forgotten. David says, God's seed never begs bread. David shares the experience of life that God never has caused him to beg bread. He always provides for his own. Again, I want you to think about David's life for a moment. You say, sure, that's easy for David to say. He was the king. He lived in the luxury of the palace. He never had to beg bread. Folks, I wonder if it wasn't on David's mind, not the palace, but the caves, in which he found that the Lord always provided for his every need. David found and understood that God is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Beloved, we should not forget that God cares for our every need in every area of life. You know, God is able to provide for our physical needs. He is able to provide for our emotional needs. He is able to provide for those social needs. He is able to provide for our spiritual needs. That's why Peter comes and says, casting all your care upon him. And when he says all, he means all. Every area of life, physical needs, bring them before the Lord. Emotional needs, bring them before the Lord. Those social longings, bring them before the Lord. Those spiritual desires, bring them before the Lord. Keep the perspective that our God is able to supply. There is no need he cannot meet. That's why the Lord Jesus in Matthew 6 tells us, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Instead, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why can we do that? Because he who cares for the sparrow is going to care for your needs. He who clothes the grass of the field will clothe you. He who gives to the foxes holes that they might be able to have a home, will he not provide for us a dwelling place? See, our God is able to meet all of our needs. Our God is willing to meet them according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But when we go without some need that we feel needs to be met, instead of feeling alone, come to the one and cast the promise that says, Lord, thy word has said, your seed never begs bread. Our God is able to supply. There is no provision that God will not make for his children. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches in Jesus Christ. You know, when you and I feel overwhelmed and we feel all alone, remember that the righteous have never been forsaken, and God's seed never beg bread. God always cares for his own. Because we are in Jesus Christ, we're never forgotten. Ever feel that way, though? Doesn't matter how many people are around you. I was reading today, it was an article in relation to Abraham Lincoln. It said when Abraham Lincoln died, there were just a few things in his pocket, and for years it had been put in the National Archives. And one day they finally brought it out and began to show to everyone what was there. And one of the things that was in his possession was an article written by a gentleman that said that Abraham Lincoln would probably be one of the greatest presidents of all time. Now, he didn't know that or feel that, and history has proven that to be true. But what Abraham Lincoln felt was his heart being torn apart as he watched his beloved nation be torn apart through civil war. Most people, while he was president, hated him and despised him. But he held on to that little piece of newspaper clipping, almost reminded himself that someone out there had a positive thing to say. It doesn't matter where you think that people are. It doesn't matter what you think they have risen to. Many of those people that seemingly rise to the top and have it all are the ones who often feel the loneliest. We live in a world of 6 billion people, yet many feel alone. Willing even to pay $5 to call up somebody they don't even know, for them to sit on the other end of that phone and say nothing. I even wonder if the guy was there with his ear to the phone or not. You know, the reality is, There are many who struggle with loneliness. And some of God's people feel that very same way. But David said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Beloved, we're never forgotten. We're never forsaken. God does truly care. That's a perspective that we need to keep in the days in which we live. We hustle about in life. So active, so quick to move from place to place. Sometimes we need to stop and ponder and ask ourselves the question, does Jesus care? We ought to be able to sing that refrain, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time tonight. We ask and pray that you would help each and every one of us. Because, Father, there's not one here tonight that would be able to say there's never been a time in my life where I didn't feel alone. Lord, there are times that we feel forgotten. We feel like there is no one else that we can go to, no one else we can talk to, no one else we can share our burdens with. And Lord, humanly speaking, that may be true. But spiritually speaking, we can always come to you. You're a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You have loved us with an everlasting love. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You're able to supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. You're able to do all things exceedingly well. You're able to do it exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We are to call upon you and you'll show us great and mighty things that we know not. There is none like unto thee, O Lord. And Father, we thank you for the truth that we are never forgotten. May we look back over life and say that we agree with David. We have never been forsaken, nor have we ever not been provided for according to our needs. So Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for the good things that you will continue to do in our lives. Thank you for thy word tonight. Give us a blessing as we go. Thank you for the fellowship that we're able to have. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our ministry, our church, our people. Watch over those who are away. Keep them safe, Lord. Give them rest. Give them a wonderful time with family and friends. And Father, I pray that you would prepare us for the blessing of days ahead. And Lord, I pray that you'd use us even this week to encourage some soul and to bring one to Jesus Christ. We'll thank you and praise you now in his name.